Hey, you guys, welcome back to Lost Arts Radio Live for July 6th of 2019. It's nice to be with you again. Hope your week went well. Saturday afternoon when we're doing this right now, and depends on when you're, what part of the world you're in, when you might take a look at it. But you remember that last week we talked about Atlantis 2.0 and whether this was a rerun of that in some other version or whether it's a whole different scenario. And before we get into that, and the title that we have for this week of Independence Day Worldwide, I want to remind you, since there are some signs that the major platforms and powers that be may not be totally excited about having us on the air, check us out on lostartsradio.com. And you might want to go there right now while you're thinking of it and get on the mailing list. It's not really a newsletter list. We're not using it for anything like that right now. But if we happen to get cut off, so we can't reach you any other way, and we need, have information we want you to be able to see, then if you're on that list, we won't have lost you permanently, and that would be great. So that's at lostartsradio.com, and also Mike's site, brighteon.com, brighteon.com, is a non-censoring alternative platform for videos, and it's good to support that by watching videos on that site. Posting videos there, you can apply for an account, and it's being upgraded to more and more features right now. The more people watch videos on that site, the better for Mike, and the faster it'll develop. So that's something you might want to write down to remember. So I just wanted to go over that first, since we got, you know, there's a chance we could get cut off in the middle of the stream or something like that. Hopefully not, but it's happened before. So I think one of the main things that's been happening this week is the Independence Day celebration inside the U.S. And listeners in other countries might not be totally clear why that's important if they live in some faraway place from the U.S., but it's really important. It's significant for the rest of the world because the U.S. is the only country I can think of right at the moment that in its founding document said, well, look, the government is subservient to the people, not just as a slogan like they have in communist countries, like it's the People's Republic and all that kind of stuff, but trying to do it for real so that the people would have what's called a constitutional republic. And the story is when Benjamin Franklin was asked after the convention what kind of government that he had given, that their group of people who met had given to the people, he said, a republic, if you can keep it, if you can hold on to it. And the founders all understood that there's no form of government that will make up for an unconscious population. It's not going to happen. There's no fancy way around the requirement that the public is aware. And I think Franklin and some of the other people said, well, it only works for a moral and well-educated public. And at that time, you know, they weren't teaching the stuff in school. I don't want to get really gross right now if I can help it, but they weren't teaching the ridiculous stuff in elementary and preschool and high school and college and universities that they're teaching now. So when they said a well-educated public, they meant a public that is aware of what's going on in the country and the world and knew how to read and write and do math and basics like that, which are sort of pushed to the side right now. And hopefully also knew something about real history, because that puts you in a position not to have to necessarily repeat the same lessons over again, like, you know, the old adage of somebody who doesn't know history is doomed to do that. So the reason the U.S. is important to every country in the world is not that it's perfect right now. It's fallen and degenerated a lot, as like the other countries have. But it started out acknowledging the idea that the rights of people come from God. You're born with them. The country, the government doesn't give them to you. Organizations, supranational organizations like the UN, actually a totally criminal organization with a lot of good people working for it who don't realize what's going on in the level, at the top level among the directors. But that group, the UN, is designed to give rights through the UN Charter and other declaration of certain rights to people, which, since they're the origin of the rights, they get to take them away selectively or whenever they feel like it. It's not like that. And those people who put together the original U.S. federal government were saying, well, actually before the Constitution or the government was formed, when they decided they didn't want to be under a king who was a tyrant, and be taxed on things and told what to do and have all kinds of atrocities being done to them, they wrote a document called the Declaration of Independence, which is where Independence Day comes from. It's not contrary to public opinion. It's not Hot Dog Day or Barbecue Day or Hamburger Day or Potato Salad Day or anything like that. Nothing against those things, but that's not what the holiday is about, really. It's about throwing off tyranny. And they wrote this amazing document called the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, what's interesting about that document is that people could actually write and talk at that time. It's real different than how things are right now. I'll give you an example. Just hold on one second here. Got to get the right tab open. But if you read, for example, George Washington's farewell address, what's amazing about it is that they actually could use words. I mean, he could write in complex sentences. It wasn't like, hey man, cool, whatever, all right, and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I don't even know the latest up-to-date simplified language, but at the time of the founders of America, they actually had coherent thought, and it would be nice if we got that back again. I'm sure there are some people who still have it in this country, but you don't find a lot of them. For example, in the beginning, and this was dated July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. And remember, when they first came up with this phrase, the United States of America, it wasn't like United States registered trademark of America or USA, the name of a corporation or anything like that. It was united with a small u, which is just an adjective that describing the states that they were together in this project to get rid of tyranny. And states was capitalized because the individual 13 colonies were seen as states, which what state means is country, nation, nation states. You've heard of that probably. And the 13 united with a small u, states of America, were making this declaration. And they said, they didn't say like, well, shoot, like, we're going to leave, okay? Like, that's about it. They said, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect of the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. I mean, how many people in America today, or most other countries, would even, especially America, I guess, would even understand those complete sentences and complex thoughts? And yet, if we're going to get the benefit out of it and not complete the degeneration that is already happening, it would be good for us to get back the power of thinking and communicating. And they were really demonstrating at that time that they could still do it. They hadn't been educated like our current system does, where it just dumps everybody down, like Charlotte Isserby and others have talked about. We have the same potential that they did, and all of us have much more, actually. But as I mentioned, we're being conditioned to think of the holiday as the 4th of July instead of Independence Day. And there's reasons for that. But I just want to finish this thought of why it's important, what happened in America, what's happening in America now, to any other country that you happen to be sitting in. And I think the main reason is because America was a country that was actually founded on principles of individual freedom and that government is established by the constituent elements within the country to protect the freedom of the individuals and to protect the country and its borders from invasion from outside or internal destruction from inside, enemies foreign and domestic. That's pretty much it. I mean, there are a list of what's called the enumerated powers. That means powers given numbers and put in a list in the Constitution. And it specifically explained that those were the only powers on the federal government. And there, all the other powers, if they weren't in that list, belonged to the original 13 states or the other states that were added, or to the individual people. And that puts a strict limit on what the federal government can do. It can't do things like start a department that's not listed in the Constitution. It can't have a Department of Education or Energy or anything like that. It can do helpful things for the local education that's happening all over the country and give them inspiring material or, you know, whatever they want to be supportive, but they can't take control. All these departments are illegal because of the Constitution, and regardless of what the statutes say, if it's truly a constitutional republic, which theoretically America is, they can't do that, and the federal government should be, you know, reduced by about 999 out of 1,000 ratio right now in order to come into compliance with the Constitution. But right now, the officers in Congress people and presidents and heads of departments and all the people in the federal agencies and everything, they take an oath to defend the Constitution, and they break the oath as soon as they go into work the next day or that day. So that could use some improvement. But the main thing, even with that degeneration and the condition that America is actually functioning in right now, the United States, the idea of a country being formed, at least on the theory of protecting individual rights and limiting the government to whatever is absolutely necessary to ensure freedom, that is something that any people anywhere in the world could do. And the rights in the Declaration of Independence don't come from the American government at all. In fact, it says right in the part that we read that who it comes from, and that's nature's God, according to the wording there. And you're born with the rights, and it doesn't matter if you live on the opposite side of the world or the other hemisphere or a neighboring country or anything, if you're born, you have the rights. And actually, that's become kind of an issue lately with Americans degenerated to such an extent that they want to kill babies before birth as much as possible, especially certain races, and now they want to kill them after birth. And these brilliant academicians who are the in charge of ethics, their board of ethics, they say it's okay to kill your child at least up to 3 years old. And I believe, according to legal people that I've talked to, that the new law in New York lets you kill your child at any age. There's no specific cutoff point where it's not really a good thing and the child actually becomes human. This is really the degree to which society has degenerated in America and much of the world right now. And what's amazing is that the people, even women who normally have more ability to sense certain things than men do, even many of them are cheering. And there's some great interviews of a person on the street recently where they asked people cheering on for killing the babies after they're born and before they're born especially, why do they think that's okay? And some specifically said, well, the unborn baby, which is not a baby, it's not a human, it's not anything, is a parasite. And they also say, well, it's part of the woman's body, which is, those two things can't both be true, actually. But either one of them is being used to say that kill kids, and to actually even grasp what that means is too much for most people. But it's important to grasp it, to see what the condition is right now that we're living in, and that the dumbing down project has gone really well so far, and where that leads is total destruction. So on Independence Day worldwide, the question is, what do we want to be independent from, and why, and what do you get when you do that? So not everybody's living under a king, although a lot of people are, the equivalent of a king anyway. But there's a deeper dependence than that that needs to be eliminated. But again, the rulers want us to think of it as 4th of July or barbecue day or something like that, day off work day, getting drunk day, whatever. Because if we got back the spirit of actual independence, not just barbecues, and I'm not against the people who are barbecuing, I'm just saying there's more to it. And if we got it back, it would be harder for the rulers to destroy the people. And that's the plan worldwide. If you want it really simple, the agenda is extermination of life on the planet, enslavement, then systematic destruction. And it's what most people can't imagine, that anybody would do that, because one of the reasons they can't imagine it is that if the rulers do this, which it, they're well on the way to doing it now, then one argument says, well, if they did that, they'd kill themselves too. Why would they kill themselves? And they would do that because if you're on a suicide mission, that's what you do. Your survival is not your plan in the physical body. But at the top levels of the people who are planning this, they do plan to survive, but not physically. And they're going to complete the sacrifice with their own body. It's hard for people to grasp, but that's what they're after. By the way, some of the sites that are being banned right now by those same people that want to cut off your access to information are still on the internet, and a lot of people think they're gone. And they're not gone. They're just banned, and they can't advertise. They can't show up on social media, things like that, but they deserve to be remembered, and you can still go to them. One of the main ones, of course, is now if I say these sites, that means we risk disappearing too. So I want to just make sure you know about them, but not say them in a way that we can't talk to you anymore. So I'm going to separate the parts of the title so that you would hopefully know what I'm talking about. The first one is the word that's short for information. And, you know, if you abbreviate the word information, you put the first four letters in a period. So that's the first part of the site name. The second part of the URL is WARS, WARS, and it's also .com. That one's probably one of the most amazing comprehensive sites in the world. And they have another sister site, which is not banned quite as much. And that is the first word, news, which you're still allowed to say. And then the second part of the URL is wars, plural. And that's also .com. And another one that's come out of that, which is doing a spectacular job as a news site, is summit, like the top of a mountain, dot, and then the last part is news. So if any of those are they're not gone, they're just being suppressed right now, and you might want to support all of them by reading what they've got. Anyway, our rulers are on a suicide mission, the best I can see. And the enslavement part, whether that actually happens, and it's already happened to a great degree, it depends on us, and it brings back the reminder that the founders of the United States were saying that this is only going to work, you guys, if we have an aware, educated, and moral population. Well, we're, you know, we don't have that for the most part right now, but it could come back. And it's not just taking up whatever religion that you belong to and trying to fight against everybody who doesn't agree with that religion. That's not morality. Morality is built into you. It says that you don't hurt anyone other than in self-defense, born, unborn, old, young, whatever. You don't hurt them, and you don't, and we all cause hurt, you know, without meaning to, but you don't intentionally go out and try to steal or ruin somebody intentionally with that as your goal. You don't need to memorize that out of your religion to know that if you're somewhat conscious. And the rest of what you do and don't do is already built into us as well. And if we don't lose touch with that, then we're a lot harder to enslave. It's a really important point. So a lot of people have asked, why do the rulers who are carrying out the global destruction hate America so much? Well, they hate America, not just America. They hate a lot of other countries too. But any country where the ideas put into the country's founding were about freedom, independence, government being subservient, limited, small. And by the way, having a constitution that supposedly limits the powers of the federal government, it doesn't limit the powers of the state and local governments. If we had a moral and truly educated population, they'd limit themselves, because they would know anything that you intentionally and knowingly do to hurt somebody else is hurting yourself. People that don't know that find out, because your own consciousness pulls you through experience that teach you why what you did is not a very good idea. But the founding principles that were in the Declaration of Independence apply to people everywhere, countries everywhere, and that's why I called it Independence Day Worldwide, not just Day Off and Get Drunk Day Worldwide. The idea of a country based on individual freedom and a government whose main job is to protect your government, God-given rights and freedoms, not to give us any rights, because we already have all of them. And if they think they can give you rights, they can take them away. But, you know, the idea of a constitutional republic, not a democracy, America was never meant to be a democracy. And you hear all these people, either because they don't understand or because they do understand and they've got other motives, they say, well, this is a danger to our democracy. We don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. Democracy is a terrible form of government, and the founders of America knew that. That's why they didn't even mention it once in their founding documents, in the Constitution or Declaration of Independence, but they mentioned constitutional republic a lot. They considered it one of the worst forms of government, and now, you know, in the U.S. schools, government and things related to it, civics, are not even taught anymore. Which is not an accident. Instead, they teach diversity, which is not as nice as what it sounds. It's what's destroying most of Europe right now. It's threatening to destroy America. It's saying that you want people to live in your country just because of diversity, not based on their character. And all the real teachers of things like that, like Martin Luther King and many others, said, don't even think about judging people by their race or nationality or anything like that, certainly not by what color their skin is. I mean, how dumb is that? You look at them, meet them, talk to them, question them, find out about their ethics and what kind of character they have, and you understand them based on that. And of course, in America now, we've fallen under the control of a corrupt media and government agencies that have very bad motives, and corporations that are trying to brainwash everybody and dumb everyone down and poison them and all that. They want everybody to be focused on race and to have all these special groups that are protected more than other groups, like in Animal Farm, where it talked about some animals being more equal than others. That's what the media and government wants us to do now, and the agencies, like, you know, the social media giants, they want everybody to have special rights and everybody protected against ever being offended by anything. So if you're ever offended, all you have to do is complain, and whoever said something, that even if it was nothing, they're going to get punished. It's a complete upside down way of judging. And in, when they put the amendments to the Constitution together to reassure some of the founders that it wouldn't allow a tyrannical government, the very first one that they came up with was the one that guarantees freedom of speech. And that means not just if it's nice speech that nobody could ever be offended by, which is non-existent, or some meaningless thing or politically correct thing that you would say. No, the only way that the First Amendment makes any sense is if you're allowed to say the most offensive stuff that's clearly ridiculous and hateful and everything else, but your right to say it is absolutely guaranteed. So the companies and the agencies and things like that that are contradicting that now are violating the U.S. Constitution. Now, that doesn't mean that the states can't be completely immoral. It, you know, like I said, if you have a population that's not awake, not truly educated, not conscious, and not ethical, then no constitution is going to help you. And in a way, the Constitution is kind of like having a king. It's just the people who wrote the Constitution constructed the king according to their best ideals and ideas of how it could work. So you could have a constitutional republic, theoretically, and if the people who write the Constitution are not very conscious and are still wrapped up in misunderstandings and petty conflicts among themselves and things like that, or believing in things that don't work and do not enhance freedom of the people, then a constitutional republic can be terrible. The only way it's good is if the Constitution is good. And so some of the other people working in other countries with their governments to set up new forms of government have wanted to use the U.S. Constitution as a model, because the people that created the Constitution were pretty wise people at that time, even though it hasn't been lived up to completely since then. It still could be. And in the writing, when you look at it, although it's not, they make an effort not to teach it in school anymore, it has some great ideas in it. And it has a mechanism for changing it in the future if more advanced ideas come in, not the technocratic tyranny that our rulers intend, but I mean real further protections on freedom and things like that. There's a mechanism for the states getting together and adding those in. The danger of doing that now, it's called the Constitutional Convention, or CONCON for short. The reason that's a really bad idea right now, no matter how well motivated the people are who may want it, is that that meeting could be dominated very easily by those who want the end of freedom in America. And if so, they could eliminate all the protections. Too much of a risk for right now, and there's too much good in the Constitution as it is already that's not being enforced or followed. A good start would be to do that for a first step. So, anyway, it only works, constitutional republic, if the people who create the Constitution are wise. And that's often overlooked by people who say a constitutional republic is great, no, democracy is terrible, and the constitutional republic is the answer. It's only the answer to the degree that the people who write the Constitution are wise and benevolent and not there to favor a ruling party over everybody else. That's why it's important that in America, gradually the slavery was ended and the treatment of minorities of people was changed. So that, and you don't need special laws to protect a certain class of people. You just follow the laws and apply them to everybody. And it applies in every country. Anybody around the world who wants to do this could do it. It's just that in the U.S., the things that were successfully put into the Constitution are why it's hated by so much of the world, the world rulers. The rights of the federal government, in fact, were put in a list, and it's a fairly short list. It's called the Enumerated Powers, just meaning they're all given a number and put in a list, and it said nothing that's not in that list can ever be done by the government. And just as a side note, the rights that you have as a citizen of the country, not somebody who breaks in illegally, but as a citizen who either goes through the process of becoming a citizen legally, your rights are not limited. And the government only gets to impose on those in certain specific cases. And ideally, the state constitutions should give the same or more limits to what they can do. But that varies state by state. So what they were declaring independence from, that the 4th of July is about in America, were most obviously tyranny, and from the theft and enslavement to government. Because the country belongs to the people, it doesn't belong to the government. So when you say, what is, and then fill in your country name, it's not supposed to be the government of that country. It's supposed to be you and everybody else that's a citizen there. And that's what the country is. It's the physical land and resources and qualities, natural resources of that country, plus the people. And the government is just put there as an aid to help the people get protection and safety and ensuring their rights. That's about it. Now, that's not happening. And the richness of each individual country and the creativity and work that should become the wealth that belongs to the people and makes a great standard of living for everybody. If the government and corrupt corporations don't steal it from the people, then every country on earth would be rich. And it is rich. It would just not be stolen by certain entities that are in control. So I'm just saying that America's founding principles are an example for every country where people want to be free. And physical freedom from tyranny, even if it's established and the tyranny is under control, it won't last unless it's supported by another kind of independence, which I'm sure you know what that is. And that's why America is in danger of dying at this point. And the reason that global rulers are being able to enslave and control people worldwide and hurt them. Because for physical independence to last, it has to be supported by independence from harmful, destructive programming, which dumbs down the population and makes them commit their own suicide, like a subtle kind of malicious hypnosis. And it's a weapon used by the rulers, mostly people we've never heard of, not the elected officials, although some of them are knowingly involved. But it comes from much higher up the food chain. And what they're doing as a general theme in their programs is to get us to destroy ourselves so they don't even have to do it. I'm sure they think that's quite humorous, and they just laugh while we ruin our own lives, kill our own life support systems in nature. And you know, that gets into this party system that is in effect in most of the world, certainly in America, where you have the Republicans who are supposedly conservative and the Democrats who are, I would have said liberal, but now they're getting into what they call progressive and socialist and communist, going in that direction. And depending on what side you're on, you're supposed to have a list of opinions that are your opinions. Which that's really the only attraction of a party that I see, is you don't have to think, you don't have to figure out what you believe in, because you just get a copy of what the party wants you to believe. And that's it. It's like a new religion that answers all questions, and you don't have to even understand them. For example, the so-called conservative people sometimes have a really hard time understanding that there are legitimate environmental issues and that there's actually a severe environmental crisis in the world right now, all over the world, even though what's being done by the Democrats and the so-called liberals and progressives with climate change is a total scam, and it's based on all kinds of lies. But if we just think superficially, like the television wants you to think, you either think if you're a conservative, there's no environmental problems, or if you're a progressive, you think it's an immediate environmental problem and you have to give up all your rights and pay for what they call carbon use in order to stop it. Both of them are completely out to lunch. You know, there are severe, real environmental emergencies everywhere you look right now. The use of real dirty technology for energy is an immediate problem. The use of non-biodegradable materials that just end up in the ocean, not just killing the fish, but degrading the whole ecosystem. That's not just a liberal problem. That's an environmental real problem. And then on the other side, you know, you have the typical progressive mindset where you just look at the list and see what a progressive is supposed to think. And you don't think that property rights are a big deal, or you don't really believe in national sovereignty. And you think that the border should just be open to all countries. This is really dumb, you guys. It's like, let's say that you have a house and it's in a questionable or bad neighborhood, and within a few miles you've got people that come out at night and rape and kill and steal and do all kinds of burn up cars, and like they're doing in Europe right now for God and stuff like that. Or, and they have a belief system maybe that anybody who doesn't belong to their religion should be killed, which is actually a huge belief system right now in the world, amazingly enough. And you decide, well, yeah, I live in this neighborhood, but I think I'll have my doors removed because it's racist to have doors. And I think actually I'll start removing the walls of my house too if I just get supports at strategic points around the edge of the roof that I don't really need walls. And that way when I go to sleep, I'll have cultural enrichment and diversity. And you would not live very long in the kind of neighborhood I'm describing. That's what open borders is. So I hear, speaking of talking points for different parties, I've talked to a lot of libertarian people, and they think, well, of course borders are ridiculous. They're unnatural. They're arbitrary. They're obviously racist, which is nonsense, but that's what they think. And so we have to eliminate all borders, and then there will be world peace, and everybody will be nice to each other. It's going to be great. If that was an IQ test, those people would be getting like 10, to be generous. It's not very intelligent. I'm not condemning those people at all, because they can get their intelligence back. I'm just saying right now they burned it up somewhere, and that could be the reason for the loss of a country. And that idea, they don't even realize that idea has been programmed into them. All these crazy ideas are coming, like in America, from the corporate media, which is a total treasonous enemy of the whole population. And corporate media, the fake educational system that is teaching obedience instead of how to think and how to be self-aware and what your own potential abilities are. The medical industry that's supposed to be there to keep everybody healthy is keeping everybody sick and dying and degenerating, and has become a major drug dealer trying to get everybody on multiple drugs with this implicit understanding that, well, the reason you're sick is, number one, a deficiency of medical drugs. Number two, you're too old. Number three, you have bad genes. And number four, it's just really bad luck and you ran into the wrong germ. All of which are complete nonsense. I understand genetics, okay? I'm not saying that doesn't exist. I'm saying blaming everything on bad genes that is actually coming from lifestyle mistakes is not a productive thing to do. And our corrupt government agencies, not just the health agencies, but the agricultural agencies, which are really pushing not only GMOs, which should be banned by every country in the planet, by the way, not this idea of them coexisting with real farming. They should be banned. And the leaders of the GMO industry, the biotech industry, if they have anything to do with producing that stuff, should be arrested and held accountable. It's endangering the entire biosphere. But the fake scientists are also promoting this kind of nonsense, and the programmed entertainment, the people that control the food and water supplies, they're all responsible for the dumbing down of the population. They work together on a really deep level to give you a whole fake picture of reality to believe in. And this, believing this stuff, opens up the way for the American people or any other people of another country trying to be free to fail and lose the chance to live and demonstrate something that should be really beautiful. So it requires shaking off the hypnosis, you know, not trying to solve it by going and attacking somebody else. Self-defense is another issue, but just solving it by wanting to destroy bad guys is a mistake. Because if you just get into that and you don't do anything to differentiate the level that you're on from what they're doing, then you just get a new tyrant with a different name. But America, with such amazing founding documents, how did it end up in the condition of insanity, which is rampant today? And what can people from all over the world who want to be free and live that way and be healthy and prosperous and happy in their own countries, what can they learn from the example that we've done in America? And I guess that what's evolved in America and probably many other places is from governments and big corporations creating positions of power, which are needed because, as we said, the reason to have a government is to protect the people, the citizens of the country. And it's an important role. I mean, if you try to do it with anarchy and no government, you quickly find that the major corporations that are in positions of incredible power become the de facto government gangs, and you have something that's not as great as what you thought that you were getting into. And in America, in the beginning, a lot of these power positions in government were filled with people of vision and good intent, who were there to try to create a great country. And when they discussed forming a federal government, not just the government of the states, then some of them warned that the power could be used against their own people. And you know that's a common thing. It's not some kind of conspiracy theory. And the word, this phrase conspiracy theory really bothers me because you know that the reason it was started was after the Kennedy assassination, right? When they wanted to show that it was just one guy, this crazy person, Lee Harvey Oswald, and nobody else was involved with wanting to kill Kennedy or organizing it or engineering it or anything. But in reality, it was a massive conspiracy, both in and out of the U.S. federal government. Johnson and all these other people, you can read about how they were involved. And now, well, they started the term conspiracy theory to make you, to be able to make fun of you if you thought there was more than one person involved in killing Kennedy. And that same phrase has been used now, it's still being used every day, to make the people who believe there's anything behind what we're seeing happen, any organized malice that is destroying the country or the world, make fun of those people so nobody listens to them. But the opposite is true. It's such a deep, totally unified conspiracy that Kennedy and Eisenhower and all others talked about. Kennedy called it, I think, a monolithic conspiracy, monolithic being one piece, just totally unified, and Eisenhower warned against it as the military-industrial complex, but they both understood, especially Kennedy, that there was a power that was far above the president in the U.S., and people needed to be aware of it. So the dilemma was that they needed a government, but they had to try to make it so that it wouldn't destroy all the people. And there's an institute at the University of Hawaii. The guy that started it and ran it for a while is not living anymore physically, but it's about a subject called democide, and it said in the 1900s, the 20th century, governments killed more than 262 million of their own people, not in wars, in other projects to attack their own citizens. So, if any people in any country, wherever you might be around the world, want to create a situation where that doesn't happen in your country, you need to understand history so you don't repeat it. Many thousands of years of what I call recent history, the story, has been a repeat over and over and over again, a continuous sequence of groups invading and conquering and killing each other and running countries just to steal the wealth and enslave the people and then use them as a weapon to attack other countries. It's basically the mentality of evil. And I remember Ernie Hancock, hopefully he's still doing this. He was running a website news service called Freedom's Phoenix. I used to read it every day. It's been a while now, but I'd like to find out about it again. And he said there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the people who are just trying to live their lives and they want to be left alone to do that. And the other group won't leave them alone and wants to control their lives and make sure they make the decisions for everything they do. And I think, as we mentioned, the anarchists really don't address the need for defense against the invading countries, the need to protect the borders. They think borders are crazy, I guess, and they don't realize what kind of world we live in, where there are countries run by religions that think they have to invade, conquer, and kill everybody else in the world so that God will be really happy when there's just one religion left. There's more than a billion people in that belief system right now, and by some polls, about 40% of them are wanting to follow the original scriptures and invade everywhere else and take over the world. That's considered politically incorrect to recognize that now, but it's being used to destroy Europe. And so under the UN program to bring people in and flood Western countries with totally incompatible people that hate their existing country. It's being done in the U.S. now, too, denied by the media as much as possible, and not with the same religion primarily, but with other people from all over the place, including Central Africa and everywhere, that have been trained to hate America but get on as much free welfare as possible and help destroy the country. So just like a constitutional republic is not a guarantee of anything going well, because the Constitution could be written in a really bad way, that free market economy, which is essential for a free country, is important. It's indispensable, but if you don't put certain restrictions on it, then you have companies like Bayer and Monsanto taking advantage of the so-called free market economy and giving everybody cancer and doing other things. And there's a lot of other types of companies that would do that, ones that make GMOs, the whole toxic agriculture combine, the lethal forced medical procedures, other profitable businesses that make billions of dollars, like 5G, for example. That's a bunch of private companies, although they have special privileges from government. That kind of freedom is not legitimate. It's like, if you want to smoke cigarettes and marijuana or whatever you want to smoke, I think, or even any other drug that you can find, I think that's your right. And you should be able to smoke it where you're not going to force other people to breathe the same garbage. But not in an elevator, not on a closed, in a closed airplane or other places where people have no choice but to breathe the same air. So there, even freedom takes some discretion. And this is one reason why America is not set up as a democracy, is because in a democracy, 51% of the people can vote to do anything to you as a minority that you want. And I don't just mean if your skin is the wrong color. I just mean if you have any idea or belief or way of living that doesn't damage anything, but it's different than what the ruling class is doing in a democracy, they can just brainwash the people and get them all to vote that you need to be killed. And in a democracy, that's perfectly legal. Or in a constitutional republic where the constitution is written by unconscious or malicious people, same thing can happen. See, so you can have a constitutional republic that's just as bad or worse than a democracy. But if you get the really wise people to write the constitution that the government is limited to protecting your individual rights, and also against government itself, against industry, against corporations, against individuals, then it can be something really good. And hopefully that happens in individual states, not just in the nation as a whole. Protect the borders, protect the rights, that's about it. So you want great people in the government to be there to serve humanity. And you know, one of the problems with that, as G. Edward Griffin has talked about on our show on Sunday more than once, is that generally people who don't want to bother anybody else, they don't have any interest in being in the government at all. In fact, they would consider it to be a punishment because you're just dealing with so many creepy people who are there for the wrong reasons. But if only the malicious people get into government, then countries don't survive and the wars just last forever. You look at the history of kings and queens. Sometimes good ones have ruled and then the next generation in an inherited government turn out to be complete psychopaths or worse, and they end up murdering everybody. And in America, the rule of law based around the Constitution, which hopefully would be followed in the states and other areas too. But the fact that they created power positions agreed with what the original founders were worried about, creating a new royalty basically. And now most of those positions in government, courts, Congress, federal agencies, even governments down to the state and local level are run largely by corrupt and vicious people. It's a really serious problem. And they are also under the control of what's called supranational organizations that the corrupt people in individual countries join on behalf of the citizens, even if it's against the national laws and constitution. And that happened in the U.S. in terms of voluntarily coming under the rule of the United Nations, World Trade Organization, all these other supranational groups that for their members that voluntarily joined, they can just make any law and it can overcome the law of the country. And that is really not legitimate at all. So it's easy to see why the well-motivated anarchists think that the government itself is the problem. But global corporations now have become essentially governments too. And in fact, even more so because the governments are almost, as far as I know, they're almost all networks of for-profit corporations, even courts and agencies and things like that. The founders knew the whole thing would only work with a moral and educated public, and it's the same thing with any structure. So the only way freedom has a good result is when it's combined with wisdom, respecting each other, not using freedom for evil, and protecting individual freedom, using personal gain as something you do at the same time as helping other people. Do something that's productive. You make a business out of food or something that helps people, not poison food, but real food. And you don't make a business out of spreading 5G and things like that. That should not be legal in a free country. So there's a great conflict in America at the moment, which affects the whole rest of the world and will have a lot to do with how the rest of the world turns out. People in power have corrupted the population. They use misinformation through the media and the educational system, and physical poison in the air, water, and food and drugs, and also frequency weapons. This sounds like a sci-fi movie, but it really is a sci-fi movie. It's just the one we're in, and it's actually happening. As far as the frequency weapons go, earlier World War II technology, like Barry Troers talked about on our Sunday show several times, worked on individuals, turning them into assassins and creating suicides and stuff like that. But now they're working on mind controlling millions of people at once, as was according to the whistleblower Brian Coffrin, who was so much focused on and for termination by the media and the social media and the power structure that he pretty much totally disappeared. Everything he wrote, as far as I know, got taken off the internet. And he was exposing that millions of people being driven insane, engineering the mentality of insanity that way, not just one person. And then the people who get brainwashed by these technologies and frequencies and what they're eating and drinking and breathing, they start supporting forced injections and medical procedures against people's wishes, killing babies before and after they're born, opening the borders, which is national suicide, and massive government, total borrowing of unpayable debts, and total censorship of free speech by calling it what's called hate speech, which is something that has been done in tyrannies before. Preemptive war, Wi-Fi, 5G, insanity like the Green New Deal, infinite debt, government health care, which is a real disaster, shutdown of the energy industry, austerity by worrying about climate change, total silencing of dissent, violence against hate, racism is the focus all the time in support of religions that advocate racism and murder. And it's being perpetuated by the media and medicine and education and science. I'm talking fast because we got a minute left here. The agenda is worldwide centralized control, enslavement, followed by extermination. And that will only happen if the population goes along with the insanity and people believe in the street violence from Antifa and communists and people like that. All the disinformation coming out of these false sources of information. So, an awake population and even a small percent, like was involved in the original American Revolution, could do it without any violence at all, just by total transformation of consciousness, which gives you access to powers that we've forgotten all about that could be used for healing. And that's what I'm reminding people about. So I'm suggesting we want to do that. We make a life change. Learn the forbidden health information, get your health back on all levels, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, become strong. And we've lost what our real normal state is. We need to get it back for ourselves and the world. And can we get it back in time to turn things around where they're going straight down right now? I don't know. But for sure, we'll only find out if we try. And that's you. It's not somebody else. You're incredibly important, amazing being, limitations only the ones that you believe in. So I'm suggesting, you know, throw off the hypnosis, find out how incredible you actually are, get your health back, and then go from there. And if you want help with it, support environment, other people doing it live every week, I'll be there. Check out planetaryhealingclub.com, planetaryhealing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, club.com. And meet me there if you want to, and we'll do some work. Remember, tomorrow is a Sunday show with Leo Zagami in depth. That's going to be incredible. And watch for videos. We're going to try to get some new ones out this week. So thanks for being with us and sharing some of your valuable time. I really appreciate it. And look forward to seeing you next time. Have a good weekend.